You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min, sponsored by our good friends over at ProPrep. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon. And on this edition, we're going to be discussing the latest Arsenal related transfer news. I don't know why my camera just cut out. Apologies for the YouTube viewers. I will try and sort that, but it should be okay now. Hopefully you can see me. Yeah, hopefully. If you're listening on audio, you don't know what the hell I'm on about. Apologies. Welcome to our transfer talk show, in which we're going to be discussing some striker news this evening. We're going to be reacting to some of the latest reports coming out of Italy with regards to the future of Dusan Vlahovic, and his future supposedly could include a move to Florence on a permanent basis for Lucas Torreira. So there's lots and lots to get into. I don't have a clue what is going on with this. One second, guys. Let me just switch to my other camera source and then we should avoid this problem moving forward. Hold on a second. Typical important stream. Going to talk about big news, going to talk about big reports, and the camera's not working. So we're going to flick over to this one. Better safe than sorry. So I do apologize for that technical glitch. Not sure exactly what is going on there, but let's get into it then. Dusan Vlahovic, is he on his way to Arsenal? Is he on his way out of Italy? The latest reports coming out of Italy from Gazzetta dello Sport say that Arsenal have offered Lucas Torreira plus €55 million in a bid to tempt Fiorentina into selling us Dusan Vlahovic. Now, let me bring you up to date on what exactly the report says, and then we'll discuss it, because I think there's a lot to discuss in this one. So according to the report, as I say, from Gazzetta dello Sport out in Italy, Arsenal have offered Fiorentina Lucas Torreira plus cash, which is rumoured to be around about €55 million, for Dusan Vlahovic. Now, he's attracted interest due to being on an incredible goal-scoring run, and quoted into English money, that cash offer is supposedly around about £46 million. It's also said that Tottenham are interested in signing the striker as well, but the Arsenal's plans in order to bring in a striker to replace Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang have been accelerated off the back of what has happened in recent weeks. So, is this a possibility? Well, it's not outside the realms of possibility, but just like when we were talking about the Alexander Isak stuff yesterday, it feels like these are really, really convenient stories to write. Now, why are they convenient stories to write? Well, first of all, Arsenal need a striker. Everybody knows that Arsenal will be looking for a striker, especially come the summer, because of the situation with regards to Eddie Nketiah, whose contract is due to expire. There's nothing to say that he's not leaving yet. You've got following Balogun, who I think a lot of people are excited by, but we don't all feel like he's completely ready to step up and lead the line. We've got the Aubameyang situation. Aubameyang will be going into his final year of contract. Then, according to Sky Sports this evening, Arsenal will be entertaining offers for Aubameyang in the January window, which suggests that his future at the club is pretty much non-existent. Then you add to that that Alexander Lacazette's contract also runs out at the end of the season. And all of a sudden, Arsenal's need for a striker has increased dramatically in a really, really short space of time. I said to you guys earlier on in the season, I said to you guys throughout the summer, that although I felt we could do with a striker in the longer term, Arsenal would have looked at the situation involving Lacazette and Aubameyang and come to the conclusion that actually we can get by with those two for the remainder of the campaign. That actually we could get by with those two, and therefore the money would be better spent in other areas. That's what Arsenal opted to do. Obviously, not being able to foresee what has since unfolded with regards to Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. So he is out of the picture. You know, as far as we know, there is no way back for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And we know that because according to reports coming out, which again, you have to take with a kind of a bit of an open mind. But the reports coming out from Sky Sports this evening are that Arsenal are willing to and open to entertaining offers for Aubameyang in January, which suggests that the situation is what it is. It's done, and Aubameyang is no longer going to be an Arsenal player. And now the strategy and the objective is to move him out as quickly as possible. So we know that. We know that, as I say, as a result of that, Arsenal will at least be considering and looking to accelerate their plans for a new striker. I've said it time and time again. This does not mean that Arsenal should rush and jump into a deal that doesn't make sense for the club and that isn't one that they're fully invested on, okay? When you're talking about a centre forward, we're talking about Alexander Isak, who we discussed yesterday, who's going to cost a pretty penny given that he recently signed a new long-term contract with Real Sociedad. When you talk about Dusan Vlahovic, a striker who's on everybody's lips at the moment, a striker who's in incredible goal-scoring form, and we'll come on to talk about him in a little bit more detail in just a few moments' time, we are going to be, whoever it is, making a really significant investment in that area of the park. Therefore, it has to be the right deal. And I don't know about you guys, but I would be more than happy for Arsenal to say it's not the right time because, you know, we don't want to be forced into something that feels like a reactionary knee-jerk signing. And I wouldn't mind if Arsenal waited until the summer if it means we get the right man in then. So I am very much in the headspace this month that if an opportunity comes along, great, do it. Go out and get the striker that you want. Bring him into the club. Give him half a season to adapt under sort of Alexander Lacazette's stewardship and et cetera, with the view to him starting the season next season as our main man at centre forward. But that's only if this deal is possible to be done now. And with Dusan Vlahovic, I'm going to rate this rumour because we've been doing that in these transfer shows. We're going to keep doing that throughout the month. I rated the Alexander Isak rumour yesterday at 3 out of 10. And I gave it a 3 because I felt like there was or there is interest in the player from Arsenal. But I couldn't give it any more than a 3 because I didn't know or believe that Arsenal had got to that stage of negotiations, that stage whereby Real Sociedad were in a place where they were telling Barcelona to back off. We've done a deal. He's going to Arsenal. So with Vlahovic, I think I'm going to rate it about the same at this moment in time. I think I'm going to rate it at around about 3, maybe 4 out of 10. Now, when I said earlier on that this feels like a really convenient story to write, what I meant by that is we know, we discussed it yesterday, that Arsenal are in the process of trying to thrash out a deal with Fiorentina for Lucas Torreira. Therefore, it's an easy story to write. You know Arsenal like Vlahovic. You know Arsenal have supposedly off the record made inquiries about Vlahovic in the past, and you know that Fiorentina want to sign Lucas Torreira. How do you come up with the fee? Well, you look at what Lucas Torreira's approximately worth in today's transfer market, and you subtract that from what you believe that Fiorentina will be looking for Dusan Vlahovic. Do not get me wrong. He's a player I would love to see come to Arsenal Football Club. I think he's got a lot of the right attributes. I think he's got a lot of the qualities that we would really benefit from. But am I at the point just now on the 4th of January, 2022, where I think that this deal is close to being done or as close to being done as Gazzetta dello Sport are suggesting? I can't say that with any degree of confidence. I don't know that for a fact, but that's my gut feel. That's my opinion based on what I do know, what I've read, what I've understood. Let's dive into the player himself, and let's get a little bit of an idea around what type of player Dusan Vlahovic is. And I think this is really important. And when we were talking about Alexander Isak yesterday, we were talking about a number of qualities that he has that make him a good fit for Arsenal. So what is it about Dusan Vlahovic that makes him a good fit for the Arsenal? Well, I think when you look at some of the qualities, a lot of them are similar. When you look at SofaScore's profile of him, and I use SofaScore quite a bit because I think their profiling around players is quite good, and they produce a lot of really useful stats and metrics from which you can normally gain a bit of an understanding on the player. So you look at, first of all, the player's value, which is said to be 68 million euros. And that ties in with what I was saying to you guys a little bit earlier on. What do you rate Lucas Torreira at? Probably valued at around about 10 to 12, maybe 13 million euros. and therefore you subtract that from what Dusan Vlahovic's value seems to be, and there you get your figure to come up with this story. So what I'm seeing here convinces me probably a little bit more strongly that this is a deal that isn't actually close to being done. It's a deal that feels like a convenient one. Therefore, people are going to write the story in the on the off chance that it does come off. Then they'll claim a victory over it. What I want to draw your attention to is Dusan Vlahovic's season heat map on the right-hand side. Now, this only takes into consideration Serie A fixtures, but if you look at it, he's very similar to Alexander Isak and Alexander Lacazette in the sense that he takes up all sorts of positions on the pitch. He's not just a penalty box striker, although what you will see is his concentration of positioning within the penalty box is a lot stronger than that of Lacazette and Isak, who both, I feel, still do more outside of the parameters of the penalty area. Dusan Vlahovic, very deadly inside the penalty area, very good goal scorer, very good finisher, but isn't for me as, what's the word, as much of a team player, without meaning that in a derogatory, derisory way. He's not as much of a team player as Lacazette or Isak in that he's not going to drop into those deeper positions as often and be the unselfish centre forward that Alexander Lacazette has proven himself to be recently. Now, if you look at total matches played, he started 19 games in Serie A this season and he's managed to score 16 goals. That's 0.8 goals per game, averages 3.6 shots per game, 1.6 shots on target per game. So he is someone who is very prolific in terms of when you look at his games versus goals. But actually, when you dive into it a little bit deeper, on average, averaged, he's missed a couple of chances as well, a couple of really big chances this season. So you look at it and you say, well, he's been deadly, he's been clinical, but he could be more deadly and he could be more clinical when you look at some of those statistics. So for me, this is a guy for whom the sky's the limit. You're talking about a 21-year-old centre forward who is a huge, huge frame of a man as well. I think a lot of the concern has been when trying to bring players in from other countries and other leagues is, can they live up to the physicality of the Premier League? Can they cope with it? Well, somebody like Dusan Vlahovic, I believe, can, and I don't have any issues with that. What I would say he is better at, having watched him on numerous occasions in the Serie A, than an Isak or a Lacazette, is running the channels. I think running the channels is something that we don't really have in Laka, and we probably wouldn't get that much in Isak either. And I think sometimes running those channels, and we talk a lot about Lacazette creating spaces for those two wide forwards in Saka and Martinelli, or Saka, Smith Rowe, whoever it is, drifting in field and taking up those positions. I think that Lacazette does it in a different way by dropping deep and allowing them to run beyond him, whereas Vlahovic would do it in a slightly different manner, whereby he would pull out to the left-hand side and pull out to the right-hand side. You can play balls over the top to Dusan Vlahovic because not only does he have the physical capability of holding people off, holding the ball up, bringing it down under control, he has the ability as well to outpace people, to outrun people. He's an incredibly strong runner, is Dusan Vlahovic. So I think he's... there's a reason why people are going so big on this guy. There's a reason why people are really, really excited about his talent and what he has to offer moving forward. Is he the best fit for Arsenal? Well, we're in a place now where there's a real culture developing at the football club, and there's a real understanding of what it means to represent this football club. There's a real desire to succeed among those at the forefront of Mikel Arteta's plans. And my worry with Vlahovic is that we consistently hear that he doesn't want to join Arsenal. We consistently hear that he would prefer to move within Italy. We consistently hear that he's looking at potentially a bigger project than the one that is currently underway at Arsenal. And that worries me a little bit because, listen, I love Serie A. I love Fiorentina. I love all of the history with regards to those clubs. But there's no way that moving from Fiorentina to Arsenal is not a huge upgrade in terms of the stature of club. And for me, when I constantly hear that this guy doesn't want to come to Arsenal, and I constantly hear that, you know, he's got his mind on another move, it kind of sets alarm bells for me. Why? Because ultimately, we need people that are invested in this project. You know, we need people that are passionate about Arsenal, people that really are hungry to develop and to succeed. And a lot of that is about understanding where it is you are, who you're playing for, who you represent, and taking that on and using that in a way whereby you can channel your very best performances and make sure that you are at a level all the time. You have that desire to succeed and grow along with the club. I think all of that is so, so important. And I wonder with Dusan Vlahovic, if the fact that he supposedly doesn't want to join Arsenal is something that would, you know, that would put the club off, that would put Arsenal off. Now, Martin in the chat very interestingly says he isn't the issue, it's his agent. And I get that, Martin, I really do. A lot of the time you get players whose agents are doing all of the talking, and the agent's kind of like, well, take a step back, mate. And I know this because I've spoken to agents in the Premier League who have been almost given free rein to do what it is that they think is the right thing for their client, to speak the way they feel they should be speaking in the press, et cetera, et cetera. And I just think that can be damaging, but it does reflect on the player, right? As much as you can compartmentalize the two things and say, no, that's the player and that's his agent, the agent works for the player. And if I were Dusan Vlahovic and I were interested in a move to Arsenal Football Club, and my agent was constantly saying in the press, nope, you know, this is where we want to go, we're not committing to this, we're not committing to that, I'd pull him over and say, have a word, mate. You are working for me. You are my agent. I'm not your employee. You are my employee. Therefore, do the right things and get me where I want to be. So I'm not saying that he definitely doesn't want to join Arsenal. And I'm not saying that a lot of this isn't just agent talk, but the fact that this report constantly keeps coming about, it is a bit of a concern for me. We've seen some reports today suggesting that actually he is now pushing for a move to Arsenal. And I just find that all very, very hard to process and believe when 2 weeks ago we were being told that he doesn't want to come anywhere near this football club. He's an incredibly big talent. And for me, in terms of the attributes that he has and the potential and the quality that he has, he's the best option. He's the one that if I had a blank check, I would go out and get. But we've got to be very careful. We've got to be very careful with regards to the culture that we are building here at this football club right now. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang ain't on board with that culture. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang was given that massive contract, and now we're going to pay the price for it. He is not the right type of character that Arsenal Football Club need. And I'm not saying that the 21-year-old Dusan Vlahovic is the next Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, or that he will disrespect the shirt, disrespect the club, disrespect his teammates, his manager, the fans, etc. But if I'm constantly hearing that someone doesn't want to join Arsenal Football Club, I need to be convinced that they do want to join Arsenal Football Club now. If I'm Edu, if I'm Arteta, if I'm Mr. Kroenke, before I'm signing a big fat check for 55 million euros, whatever it's rumored to be, and Lucas Torreira. So I think for me, I think I'd like Arsenal to explore the possibility of Dusan Vlahovic. I'd like Arsenal to hold conversations if they can. But I think to a degree, we've got to trust that the guys that we do end up recruiting are people who showed an enthusiasm, are people who showed that they understood what the project was all about, people who understood the value of playing for Arsenal Football Club. And to a degree, we have to trust Mikel Arteta and Edu in that, because they're the ones having the conversations. We're not. You or I will never get the opportunity to speak to Dusan Vlahovic about his career aspirations. You or I will never really know what goes on behind the scenes. But it's imperative that we trust those guys to do that, because so far, when you look at the players that they brought in last summer, attitude, mentality, character-wise, they've been absolutely spot on. So we have no reason, you know, to feel that they would get it wrong this time around. And therefore, we've got to be trusting in it. What I mean by that is, if we don't end up with Dusan Vlahovic come the end of the January window, or indeed the summer window, I don't want this crap in 2 years' time. We signed this guy when we could have signed Vlahovic, like we get with all the Wenger stuff. We signed Xhaka, but we should have signed Kante. We signed this guy and we should have signed Cristiano Ronaldo. All of that drives me mad, because there are lots and lots of variables and things that go on behind the scenes with regards to transfers. And therefore, we don't always have all of the information. It doesn't always mean that it was a straight up choice between one player or another. There will be factors and mitigating circumstances within those negotiations that ultimately contribute to the outcome of them. So I like Vlahovic, okay? I really do. And I'd love him to come to Arsenal. But we have to make sure and we have to assume and trust that Mikel Arteta and Edu will do the relevant kind of vetting before we go and sanction a deal of this value on a player who we constantly hear doesn't really want to come here. So, yeah, let's see, man. Let's see how it goes. But in terms of the player, brilliant, fantastic. Got so many things going for him. I really, really like him. People were asking in the chat, is he the right fit in terms of personality for Arsenal? I couldn't possibly answer that question because I don't know the guy. And I've not seen enough of him to really, really understand that. Big hello to Tom Canton as well from the Gooner Talk. Make sure you head over and subscribe to the Gooner Talk TV. Tom, we need to speak. We need to sort out another show. Make sure you head over to the Gooner Talk. Get involved. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already and check out the brilliant work that Tom does. Tom goes on to say, for me, I'm very concerned about Vlahovic's pressing stats and whether he would fit with what Arteta wants from his players. Yeah, that's a valid point. I'm not sure that it's a case of Vlahovic not being able to press. I think it's a difference in styles between what you're seeing in Fiorentina and what you're seeing at Arsenal at the moment. I think this pressing thing, that the ideology behind that, it's not a very Italian thing. It's not a method or a tactic that is applied as frequently in the Serie A as it is here in the Premier League. You know, you look at the Premier League and I can name you a number of teams, you know, like Leeds like to press, you know, that Southampton even like to press. And these are teams that are not necessarily in the upper echelons of the division, but we know that they like to do those things. We know that their characteristics of their game. We know that Ralph Rangnick wants Man United to press. We know that Arteta wants Arsenal. We know that Liverpool press. We know that there's maybe one example I can think of in this area of sides that, that press with any regularity, and that would be Atalanta. So, yeah, I'm not sure that he can't press. I think it's more, he doesn't need to right now because it's not the way they play. He would have to adapt. And this, again, comes back to the attitude bit, right? And the buy-in and the investment into the idea of joining Arsenal. If you really desperately want to join Arsenal, if you feel like that's the right place for you and you're told you've got to press and you've got to improve in that sense of your game, you get your head down and do it. If you are, as some have suggested, getting a little bit big for your boots and feeling as though you kind of don't need to press, then actually joining Arsenal is not the right move for you because you can see that. So this is why for me, there'll be a lot of conversations behind the scenes in football that don't ever materialize into transfers. And you know, we know that from all the kind of revelations that have come out since Arsene Wenger retired. I spoke to this guy, we had conversations with this guy was at our training ground, et cetera, et cetera. So you get to learn that a lot of these conversations do take place. And sometimes if you don't hear what you want to hear as a manager or as a player, then that deal then doesn't go through. So yeah, there are questions around whether he fits, but I think there'll be a lot of players that you look at, and I think you can't necessarily rule them out based on the system in which they currently play. I know I saw Tom tweeted earlier on that you shouldn't rule out certain strikers, for example, because they play in a two. Doesn't mean that they can't lead the line elsewhere, you know, by themselves. And I think that's a great point as well. So then we've got to be really careful not to mix up a player's characteristics and the characteristics of a team that they currently play in, because I think that's really different. You know, you look at Lacazette, he wasn't really pressing under Arsene Wenger, and now he's pressing like mad. So not because he didn't have the capability, but because it wasn't the way Arsenal played necessarily at that point. So, really, really interesting stuff. Guys, chuck in some questions. Get your thoughts in as well, and I'll come to some of those in just a moment. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't done so already, please do hit the like button. We've got nearly 400 of you watching us live on the YouTube stream right now, but we've only got 76 likes on the board. So hit that like button. Please, please do so. It really, really does help. And of course, subscribe to the channel if you are new. It's very, very much appreciated. Just another bit of update that I wanted to bring you guys. Chris Wheatley has posted via his Instagram that Ainsley Maitland-Niles is edging closer toward that move to Roma. We've talked about it quite a bit over the last few days. If that deal does progress that little bit further and we do get an announcement or anything, then we'll do a little bit more of a focus on that. But for the time being, that's the latest. Not much has really moved. I think we've kind of been hearing that that is quite close to going through for a little while. When we mentioned it on yesterday's transfer show, that of course those discussions were ongoing, and that one report even said that that the deal was ready to be signed off. Right, let's take some of your thoughts from the chat box. Chris Carrick says, as an American, I can't fathom following football transfer market among 150 plus European teams. It's hard enough to follow 30 baseball teams. No wonder so many fall into the hype train and rumor mill. Yeah, great point. Peanut Butter Jelly Time says, who would you have, Vlahovic or Isak? Oh, this is a really, really tough one. It's a really tough one because It depends on what you want stylistically and what you feel is most significant or most important for this Arsenal side. So I look at Dusan Vlahovic and I see a more clinical goal scorer. I see more of an out-and-out striker. I see someone who gives you more of a presence within the penalty area and who is a bigger threat within the penalty area. But I look at Alexander Isak and I see someone who is much more effective in the build-up and someone with a lot of the qualities to influence the game in other areas of the park outside of the penalty area. And I think what we've seen is that when you can only have one of those, you know, the either box penalty striker, the guy who comes alive in and around the penalty area, the Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, if you like, or the more rounded build-up player like Alexander Lacazette, this team is more suited to the build-up striker. And I think that's really, really important. But equally, that build-up striker has to contribute enough goals themselves. Isak isn't having a great goal-scoring season this year. But he did have a good goal-scoring season in La Liga last time out, which proves he can do it. So is this a dip in that sense? Maybe. Whereas Vlahovic, for me, isn't showing that he can give you loads in and around the box, but he's scoring goals constantly, averaging 0.8 goals per game, which is phenomenal for a player of that age in a league where, you know, it's not easy to score goals. I think you have to look at it that way. So for me, I think in the longer term, if Isak can add more goals, I think he would be better suited to the Arsenal system. That's my personal opinion. But do you compromise a little bit on that suitability in order to get a better goal return? And I think a lot of people, when talking about strikers, would probably say that's a fair thing to do and would assume that that's actually a pretty reasonable trade-off. So that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I'm torn between the two. I've always said that Vlahovic would be my number one choice, but I accept that there is a lot of bias in that because I watch a lot of Serie A and I don't watch an awful lot of La Liga anymore. So, yeah, there's an element of bias in that, but I'd lean slightly towards Vlahovic because I just think the value of having a 20, 25 goal striker in a season is just so important. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Nishit says, how did Vlahovic fare versus the big four in Serie A? Does he turn up for the big games? Well, let's have a look because I can think of at least one big game off the top of my head in which he definitely turned up this season. But let me let's bring up the stats. Let's have a look. Let's go. Let's share you the guys the screen and we can kind of run through this together now to see how he has fared and who his goals have come against in the Serie A this season. So let me just take that comment off the screen so that you guys can see. So managed goals against Atalanta, a couple against Atalanta. Nothing against Inter in the first meeting between the two sides, nothing against Roma in the first game of the season, nothing against Lazio, got an assist against Napoli, moving on to the game against Milan where he scored twice and got an assist. So I don't know, it's a bit of a mixed bag, right? He's contributed goals against Atalanta and Milan, who you'd certainly say fall into that category of the big, bigger and better sides in Serie A. But you just look at that run, you know, that run of games between the 20th of November where he scored those two goals against AC Milan. He then went on to score in. So overall, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 league games on the trot. So he is very much a momentum striker. I think you can assume that. Was a little bit patchy at the start of the season, but is certainly finding his way now. Hat-trick as well against Spezia on the 31st of October. So he seems to, yeah, you know, it's a fair question to ask, I think, but I don't think you can say that he's a flat track bully based on that evidence. I think, you know, over the course of the season, I'm sure we'll get a bigger picture on that. But I think for now, it's unfair to label him as a flat track bully. Not saying that you're doing that, but that people might be. Let's continue through some of the comments. BVB09 says, what is the actual chance of this happening, Harry? 5%, 50%. As I said, on my transfer rater, I put this as a 4 out of 10. Just because, although I think that Arsenal do have a genuine interest and like him and would be interested in signing him if the opportunity were to present itself, it just feels like this seems like the perfect storm of a story right now because of Fiorentina's interest in signing Lucas Torreira on a permanent deal and the fact that we're interested in Vlahovic historically. It makes it an easy report to kind of pull together, right? So I've rated it 4 out of 10 on my transfer rater, which I'll be doing throughout this window. Let me know what you guys think. Pop in a number in the chat box. Tariq Talk says, would you be open to signing an attacking midfielder winger to play in a false nine to continue the fluidity in our attack? I'm not dead against that, but I don't think the role that Laka plays is a false nine. I think that the role Laka plays means that he is going to get smashed into sometimes. He is going to have to hold the ball up. And unfortunately for him, a lot of his game, it is about creating the spaces and the opportunities for others as opposed to him getting all the glory. But it's a role that suits him really, really well. I'm not sure that an attacking midfielder or a winger would be as robust as he is in that position, would be as tenacious as he is in those positions and be as strong in terms of trying to kind of hold people off. So, yeah, I think that the best option is to bring in a striker. But I get what you're saying because it is a lot about fluidity at this moment in time. Lots of you mentioning the situation with regards to the Liverpool game in the Carabao Cup. Now, it was reported this afternoon, a little bit before I jumped on to do this live stream, that Liverpool have a number of additional COVID cases that have come to light in the last few hours and that their training session this afternoon was called off as a result, and that the fixture between Arsenal and Liverpool in the Carabao Cup semi-final is potentially in doubt. Now, that came from James Pearce over at The Athletic. He's one of the go-to guys when it comes to Liverpool. But as of yet, the game, or at the time of recording, the game is still due to go ahead. I hope it does go ahead, to be honest. Firstly, I wouldn't mind playing Liverpool with a bunch of players missing. But secondly, I mean, where do we fit all these games in if we just keep postponing them? Isn't Jurgen Klopp the manager that didn't even bother managing a Carabao Cup tie once? Was it this competition where he didn't bother, or he gave it to, did they have the World Club Championship or something and he put out a reserve team and he gave the team to someone else to manage? Am I thinking of that right? Let me know in the chat. So, you know, Liverpool have never paid particular respect, especially under Jurgen Klopp, to this competition. So, I don't see how they can then be crying if they've got a couple of players. You know, they had to play against Aston Villa, didn't they? There it is. He played kids versus Villa. So, you know, it would be pretty rich now, wouldn't it, if Liverpool turned around and said, oh, we can't field the team because we don't want to play our kids, and pulled out of the fixture. But there you go. DMC Harper says, TGT sent me here. Big shout out again to the Gooner Talk. I can see a few of you saying that. So thank you all so much. And thank you, Tom, of course, for sending people over. Let's take a couple more of your questions before we wrap up today's edition of the Transfer Show. While you're getting those questions in the chat box, let me just remind you of the big story today. According to Gazzetta dello Sport in Italy, Arsenal have offered Lucas Torreira plus 55 million euros in cash in a bid to sign Dusan Vlahovic. Is it reliable? Don't know just yet. I've rated it on my rumor rater at a 4 out of 10 for now, and we'll see how this one develops. As I say, it feels like given Fiorentina's interest in Torreira and Arsenal's interest in Vlahovic, that this is a very convenient story to write and piece together off the back of that. But we will see. We will see. Chris says, opinion on Watkins, Harry. Not really my cup of tea. Ollie Watkins. I think he's a good player, but I think Ollie Watkins falls into that category as well of a really unselfish striker who maybe doesn't always get the plaudits he deserves, but does a lot for the team in and around him. My issue is that if we're looking to add a striker for the longer term now, and we're looking to add a striker that's going to spearhead our charge back into the Champions League, then I think you need to, you know, if you're going to go big in terms of investment, you need to make sure that you're getting as close to the full package as you possibly can. And I'm not sure that Ollie Watkins is the full package. As I say, I think he's very underappreciated in terms of a lot of the things he does for Aston Villa. But for me, not quite the right fit. But it doesn't mean he's a bad player. Let's see. Arsenal legends as Harry, who do you feel what striker would be suited for Arsenal? I think that Vlahovic suits Arsenal in a lot of ways, maybe with the exception of one way. And I think Alexander Isak is in a similar boat, a player who fits Arsenal in a lot of ways and ticks a lot of boxes. But also, there are certain elements of his game that you could question. In Vlahovic's case, it's how good is his link-up play? Is there an ability there to press and do the role that Mikel Arteta would ask him to do? And in Isak's case, it can he be as prolific as we need him to be, given that we're going to shell out, if we do sign him, a hell of a lot of money. So I think for me, you know, neither of them tick every single box, but they both tick a lot of boxes. I think these would be my first two choices if it were up to me. You know, but it's not up to me. And of course, budget and finance dictates a lot of what Arsenal will be able to do with regards to these players. We know that there'll be other clubs interested in them. They're highly sought after, and therefore we're going to need to really break the bank if we're going to land any of these two guys. And if you're going to break the bank, you've got to be sure, right? Okay. Let's see. I'm going to take one more question from, where is it? Alexandru Petria, who says, if you could only have a centre midfielder or a striker this winter, what would you choose? It's a tough one, because if you had asked me this question when Aubameyang was in the picture, I'd have said a centre midfielder. Absolutely, 100% a centre midfielder. The fact that Ainsley Maitland-Niles is on his way out as well still makes me lean towards a centre midfielder more so. I feel like that's an area that we're more in danger of being left short, because we do have Laka, we do have Nketiah, we do have Balogun in and around the club. We're hearing that Nicolai Muller has been called back from his loan as well, which would be another body involved for Arsenal in the sort of striking positions. But although we have the players there, that I think there's a massive drop-off between Laka and the rest. And that worries me. That concerns me. I would be concerned if we had to play every week with Eddie Nketiah up front, for example. Knox, I don't think he's a good player, but there's just so much that he just doesn't bring, you know, just doesn't bring to the table. So, let's see. Peanut Butter Jelly Time says, Sky just announced it, Harry. What have they announced, mate? Let me know. What is it exactly that they've announced? Lots of stuff going on during the transfer window. I've got to be careful they get sucked into something here. But yeah, I think we're going to leave it there. That will conclude today's transfer show. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the info on Vlahovic and the opinions and stuff. Good to hear from you guys as well, as always, in the chat box. Make sure that you hit that like button if you haven't done so already. We've got 100 and 41 likes on the board, but there's over 430 of you watching. Let's get that up to 200, guys. Come on, let's get it as close to 200 as we possibly can by the time the outro plays. Apologies for the technical glitch right at the start of the show, and I'll be back tomorrow with some more Arsenal and football related content. Until then, take care, stay safe, all the best. Goodbye.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening